Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we ponder God's word this morning, we turn to the words of our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 through 5. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, it is arguably one of the most beautiful moments that one witnesses on this side of heaven. Maybe you have been to a wedding, or maybe you have been part of a wedding yourself. Can you just imagine for a moment, there is the bride at the threshold of the church about to walk down the aisle. And there she is, so beautiful, not just because of what she is wearing, but also her face likely has an expression of joy. Can you just imagine for a moment why that beautiful bride has an expression of joy on her face? It could be argued that it is because she is looking at the other end of that aisle to her groom, whom she is about to marry. And that groom is likely looking back at her. There is great joy in that moment. Today, our Lord God, filled with grace, not only gives you an invitation to a wedding that is out of this world, he says that you are a bride. You are a most radiant bride. He is reminding us of this beautiful relationship we have with him. He is our bridegroom who has come to save us. He is the one who loves us deeply and dearly. He is the one who gave his life for us to win us as his bride. He is reminding us that a relationship with him is not one that is sterile and dry, but he is the one who fills our lives, often our mundane lives, with his love. And that love is overflowing throughout our lives. Today, dear friends, may we view that radiant bride. You are that bride. And as you look at your groom, he is also standing looking at you in great joy. Because when he sees his bride, he sees a creation that he has made. We know that brides like to go to a wedding store and buy their wedding dresses. The wedding dress that we wear was purchased by Christ our Lord himself. Isaiah tells us what this wedding dress is. It is righteousness, but not your own innate righteousness. It is the righteousness of Jesus that now covers you. You are a forgiven child dressed in the beauty of that white righteousness of Christ, in purity and holiness. This is what Christ has won for you. This is not your potential. This is what God has graciously given to you, so that when your last hour comes, you, the bride of Christ, may enter into that beautiful place of eternal glory, dressed in that righteousness. Maybe some of you remember that beautiful hymn that we often sing. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. That relationship is everything to us. Your groom is looking at you with great joy, for he created you. He gave you the beautiful clothing you wear. But there is more, Isaiah tells us. Not only has he given us our beautiful wedding clothes, he has also given us a new name. Isn't that an astounding thing about the weddings that often happen? That the bride comes, and when she is married to her husband, she takes on the name of her husband, that surname. Think about what your God has done for you. Your God tells you that your name used to be desolate and abandoned. When you think about the time that Isaiah writes, those Israelites were going to be abandoned and desolate because they had forsaken their groom, their Lord God, who had always been faithful to them. They would seemingly be abandoned as they were put into exile, and their land, the promised land, was laid waste. God promised them that that would not last forever. Those who seemed abandoned and desolate would be made God's chosen nation, and he would continue to be with them in his grace and mercy to fulfill that promise of a coming Christ. When we look at the church today, it doesn't always look so glorious, does it? Churches can be persecuted. You might be persecuted or made fun of for what you believe. People may say you are too stodgy in your faith. But we say that faith is everything to us. Those truths of God's word are everything to us. And so we may appear to the world as abandoned and desolate, but God comes to you with a new name. And sometimes in our translations, we've got those actual Hebrew names, Hephzibah and Beulah. Well, we have them translated here in our translation of Isaiah. Hephzibah, meaning my delight is in her. This is God speaking to his bride. My delight is in her. And the word Beulah, that name, in the Hebrew, that means married. Meaning that land that had been abandoned and desolate, that promised land, those people would be married to that land. They would possess that land once again because that's what God had promised. You and I bear that beautiful name when our groom says, my delight is in her. He rejoices in you. And you are not abandoned and desolate anymore. You are married. Married not to just this land. No, we think about a land that is yet to come. That heavenly home that our God, our groom, has won for us. And now we stand victorious looking forward to that eternal home too. Oh, how radiant you are, dear bride of Christ. For you wear the clothes that he has given you. He's also given you a new name. And he also holds you by the hand. Isn't that a beautiful part of the wedding ceremony too? As the husband and wife look at one another and hold their hands as they make their vows. God tells us through Isaiah that it is God who has us, his bride, in his hand. And he doesn't just describe it as the church in his hand. He calls the church by another name. He says, you are the crown in the Lord's hand. You are beautiful and magnificent because of what your groom has done for you. Isn't it a comfort to us to know that our groom has us in his hand through every trial and trouble that you undergo? Your groom is with you to protect you and to provide for you. O bride of Christ, rejoice, for your groom rejoices in you. You are a radiant bride because of what Christ has done for you. When you have such good news about a magnificent wedding that is otherworldly, how can you keep it a secret? And that is what God talks about in our text here too. It has to be announced. God says, for the sake of Jerusalem, I will not keep quiet. For the sake of Zion, I will not be silent. Jerusalem and Zion are names for God's church, His invisible, glorious church. God can't keep quiet about it. He wants the news to go out to others, that others might know about Him too. Have you ever seen what happens at a wedding? It's not just the bride and the groom that may be exchanging glances at one another, but as that is all going on in that joyful assembly, it is those who are gathered for that wedding that are watching the bride and the groom, that are delighting in what they have been invited to. And so this is what our God tells us in this beautiful text of Isaiah, that God wants this to be announced. It is not an announcement just for you and for me. It is not a wedding just for you and for me. It is meant to be spread to others too. And how does God spread that message? How does he announce it? He announces it through His bride, the church. You are the ones to whom God has given you His words. You are the mouthpiece of God, so that others too may hear of our groom and all that He has done for us. Dear friends, I ask you today, how are you the mouthpiece of your groom? We all have family members, don't we? And maybe some of them have strayed away from the church. Do we continue to reach out to them? How about that neighbor that may be living close to you? Or you go out to eat and you meet someone there who has no connection to Christ or very little connection. Do you find ways to spread that news, to invite them too? You treasure this invitation in your heart, but you can't help but speak about it to others because of what Christ has done for you. Do you maybe look ahead in the church calendar to find out when there might be outreach events or fellowship events or another church service in which you can invite somebody, or maybe to a Bible study? Take advantage of these opportunities, dear friends, to extend that invitation. You are the mouthpiece of God. The Holy Spirit will work through your mouth so that the bride, that invitation, may be extended to others, so that others too may know of what Jesus has done for them. Dear bride of Christ, what gives you joy is the fact that you keep looking at your groom. You keep looking at your groom, Jesus Christ, as you continue to do as you're doing this morning, spending time in His Word, and also coming to the Lord's Supper and remembering your baptism and all its rich meaning for your life. Keep looking at your groom. No matter what is going on in your life right now, you may have all kinds of stress, all kinds of troubles, but do not let that allow you to be overwhelmed. When your eye is on your groom, you can still be delighted. You can still be filled with joy because you know what your groom is doing for you. He is looking at you. He is delighting in you. He loves you. He has forgiven you all your sins. He looks forward to seeing you in that eternal home that He has prepared for you. And until your groom returns, continue to taste and see that the Lord is good. He continues to give you a foretaste of that heavenly wedding banquet through His word and sacrament. Never will He leave you. Never will He forsake you. He loves you that much. To our bridegroom be the glory. O Bride of Christ, be radiant. Amen.